Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Well, it is a sheer delight to have you with us today. We're going to take you off to a delightfully charming destination. This hour and into the next hour. And then I've got so much I have to talk with you about today. Because, well, first of all, in spite of the fact that there is rampant illness in the U.S., there are destinations looking for you to come and visit, both outside the U.S. and all over the U.S. And I truly believe that done carefully, you can be traveling now if you exercise some serious discipline in your own sanitation habits, wear a mask when you are not in your own car, keep your distance from everybody, anything that breathes, and stay in places that you have confidence are doing an excellent job at disinfecting, sanitizing, creating protocols so people are not in an elevator together with people outside their own traveling party. And I think that if you do things that way, and maybe even look at places where there are ground level entries into hotel accommodations, so you can just walk maybe right off the parking area into your accommodation, not have to go through a lobby, not have to go into an elevator. But if those things are required, there are hoteliers around the world, but particularly in the U.S., who have installed amazing protocols to make sure that you are in a safe environment for yourself and for their staff, who they're also concerned about protecting. And we're going to be talking with one such hotelier later today, who happens to be in Holland, Michigan. We may be talking with more because we are in the midst of trying to batten down the hatches and see if we can get them on board today. But there are also airlines that you have to do your due diligence if you're going to fly somewhere. Are they, by policy, packing every seat that will sell? Or, like JetBlue, are they leaving the middle seat empty? Are they staggering seating? Are they trying to occupy seats without overstuffing the plane? How is the air circulation done? How is the sanitation system? And I have to tell you, I haven't been really in the presence of another living human being other than my husband, face to face, closer than 12 feet. And that would just be my son. Anybody else, I haven't been in their presence at all. Everything is distanced. And we managed to live 5 months in Ireland in isolation, go to Dublin Airport, deliver the rental car, go to the terminal, do the check-in process, and customs and immigration for the United States is done in Ireland, whether you're flying from Shannon or Dublin. We were in Dublin, which is the only place you can fly from now. And we checked in, we went through Irish security at the airport, we went through U.S. customs, U.S. security, U.S. immigrations, got on a plane and flew home, picked up a rental car because we had to fly into an airport different from the airport we flew out of because they're not flying there, and then go to the other airport, pick up our car, and come home. So we flew into Boston, got a rental car, drove to Hartford, Connecticut, picked up our car, drove to Pittsfield, Massachusetts, got rid of the rental car, and brought our car home into our driveway. and managed to do all of that semi-contactness and still happily avoid getting sick. So it can be done. You just want to exercise some care because, frankly, I don't want to lose you. So I want you to stay very healthy and have the opportunity to experience this amazingly beautiful world and this incredibly gorgeous country, much of which I have to admit I haven't seen. And one of the places I haven't been to is Holland, Michigan. And the reason I thought about talking with Holland, Michigan is, number one, we're into our focus of my little invention here, Stay and Play USA. Consider going to places that are close enough for you to drive to comfortably. And if you're hankering to be in Europe, and that's not going to happen, there are historic buildings, there are historic homes, and there are festivals and events in the U.S. in places that are named for European destinations because the settlers who came over for whatever their reasons, whether they were from that destination or not, chose the name. And I thought visiting Holland, Michigan, while it's not visiting Amsterdam and the Netherlands, who no longer likes to be called Holland for reasons beyond me, but there is a marvelous tulip festival in the Netherlands. But you know what? There's a fabulous tulip festival in Holland, Michigan. And we're going to go off and talk with Linda Hart, who is the executive director of the Holland, Michigan Convention and Visitors Bureau, which you may find referenced as the Holland Area CVB, Convention and Visitors Bureau. Don't get it confused with those people on the other side of the Atlantic when it says Holland Area. The area they're talking about is Holland, Michigan. And we're going off to Holland, Michigan right after this.
Portions of today's show brought to you by Curacao, offering vacationers cultural experiences wrapped in history and charming traditional European architecture. A UNESCO World Heritage City on a southern Caribbean island with coves, beaches, and over 60 dive and snorkeling sites. Curacao, feel it for yourself. Visit Curacao.com.
I was so very lucky on my first phone call and outreach not to fall into 15 different voicemail boxes and have to wait for somebody to get back to me, because I scored connecting with Linda Hart, the executive director of the Holland, Michigan Convention and Visitors Bureau, that also likes to refer to itself as the Holland Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, which in travel industry lingo is an alphabet soup, is the CVB. So welcome aboard, Linda. It's a delight to have you on the air with me. I am so lucky that you were there, available, and a willing victim. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. It's great to be with you today.
So let's first talk about you. I understand that you are a new arrival on the scene in Holland, Michigan, at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, where you will find people. You can access their website to get more details while we're talking at holland.org, O-R-G. But if you happen to be driving, not to worry. Go to sabrams.net. Remember, .com is gone. sabrams.net and click on archive shows or podcasts in the next day or so, if it's not there already, and by the time the show is over, and you'll have a link that'll take you from our site to holland.org. So don't run off the road trying to write something down, people. So talk to me. Where were you before you arrived in Holland, Michigan?
Well, actually, I've been at the Visitors Bureau for going on 7 years. I started there as a community outreach So I was in the community a lot, participating in a variety of different initiatives. It was only recently that I became the executive director during the transition, where really the nation was shutting down. But before that, I got into Michigan because I went to a dude ranch. There's a dude ranch about an hour north of Holland called the Jack and Jill ranch and golf resort. And I was the equestrian director there for, worked there for 11 years. And so that's what brought me to Michigan. But I'm originally and went to school in Columbus, Ohio. So I'm a true blue Buckeye living in West Michigan.
Oh, that's amazing. So that was a nice transition, though, for a feel for travel, tourism, and hospitality at the Jack and Jill Dude Ranch. And then, yeah. And then having enough time to be grounded in the Convention and Visitors Bureau before, you know, rising to the top to be noticed to take over the reins for the Holland Convention and Visitors Bureau in Michigan, as opposed to outsourcing somewhere and bringing somebody in from Arizona or someplace, which happens far too often, and it often doesn't work well. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back. Don't leave me. This is Stephanie Abrams, and we're talking about Holland, Michigan today, a place you can get to easily. Don't leave me. Show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
The magic is happening at Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass. One of New England's most popular attractions, the village is a unique, entertaining world of fun, fantasy, food, and fragrance for the whole family. It's also the world's largest candle shop, where kids and grown-ups can make their own candles. The village is home to the enchanting Black Forest, where it snows year-round. Santa's Workshop, where he welcomes visitors every day of the year. And the Bavarian Christmas Village, filled with sparkling holiday ornaments. In addition to over 400,000 candles, you'll find toys, gifts, and more from great names like Pandora and Vera Bradley. And with tasty treats from Yankee Candy, Fresh Fudge, and Popcornopolis, every day is a holiday. Or sit down with the family for a wonderful meal at the award-winning Chandler's Restaurant. Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass., where families come for the candles and stay for the fun. Take the Mass Pike to I-91, exit 24.
Ah, Curaçao, the island that offers vacationers 55 different cultures wrapped in history and charming traditional European architecture like those you'd find in the Netherlands, but dressed in Southern Caribbean sherbet colors. Curaçao's capital city, Willemstad, is a UNESCO World Heritage City waiting for you to explore its many attractions. And when you've whipped up an appetite and thirst after sightseeing and visiting your choice of over 60 dive and snorkeling sites complete with intimate coves and beaches, you'll find a wide variety of sidewalk cafes, gourmet restaurants, local eateries, and markets to satisfy every palate. Slide into Curaçao's live and let live way of life. Curaçao, feel it for yourself. Visit Curaçao.com or call toll-free 800-328-7222. That's 800-328-7222.
Your U.S. passport is the key to your international adventures abroad and is the most secure travel document that proves both citizenship and identity. The State Department's official website, travel.state.gov, has comprehensive information about applying for a passport for the first time, renewing a passport, passports for minors, fees, and much more. You can apply at over 8,000 passport acceptance facilities, including post offices and clerks of court. Standard processing is currently 4 to 6 weeks, and expedited service takes 2 to 3 weeks. If you need your passport in less than 2 weeks, call 1-877-487-2778 to schedule an appointment at one of our regional passport agencies. Once you have your passport, sign up for our Smart Traveler Enrollment Program and download our Smart Traveler app on your smartphone. You will receive country-specific information, travel alerts, and warnings. Visit us at travel.state.gov today.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
On the line with me, live from... Why do people say that on the air, live from? Would you have somebody dead from? Poo, 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 as my mother would say. Terrible. Oh, get that evil eye out there. But, you know, it's so funny to think live from. Well, I guess there's other ways. As in, we filmed it 80 months ago and you're going to replay it. Yeah, that could be. All right, all forgiven. Live from Holland, Michigan, we've got Linda Hart on the line with us. She's the executive director of the Holland Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, which translates into Holland, Michigan area. And Linda is well-versed in hospitality, having come up the ranks through working for a serious period of time at a dude ranch. And of all places, a dude ranch in Michigan. So if the wonders of Michigan haven't ceased, there's more we need to know about, too. But let's talk specifically, Linda, about Holland, Michigan. So the dude ranch was located some distance away from Holland, no?
Sure. Yes, about an hour's drive.
Oh,
straight
so that,
north.
All right, well... For people who live in the Northeast, an hour's drive is a hop and a jump. It's, you know, well, I shouldn't say that. In New Jersey, you can't get anybody to work for you if you're more than 15 or 20 minutes drive is already a stretch. Whereas if you live on Long Island, 2 hours, okay. They'll make the commute to work. Each direction, by the way. But... So I don't know, is an hour away, would you have considered living where you were an hour away and commuting the hour daily to Holland, or that would be considered outrageous?
Oh, no, I actually lived on the property. After we left, my husband and I left the ranch, it was in 2008, so, you know, not a good time
no.
in our national economy. And
no.
so that's when we relocated to Holland at that point in time.
Okay.
So I've been in Holland for... roughly 12 years.
Would you know offhand the population of Holland, Michigan, or, you know?
I do.
Give us some idea of the size.
Yeah, sure. So the city of Holland is 34,000. And when I say the city, meaning that's where our founder, Van Ralty, settled originally in the mid-1800s. The greater Holland area is roughly 111,000 in population.
Okay, so for all of you listening on WBRK AM and FM and WSBS AM and FM, where your antennas are based in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and Great Barrington, Massachusetts. We can really, where we're based in Berkshire County, Massachusetts, up in the mountains in the west, we can relate to that because the city of Pittsfield, while in its heyday probably had 60 or 65,000 residents when General Electric had a very big industrial plant here. I'd say the population of Pittsfield is probably about somewhere between 35 and 45,000 at this point. And the county that we live in, Berkshire County, is statistically, until we get the next census, 125,000, although somebody in government in the county told me it's probably more realistically about 112,000. So, but we're very spread out. So what is the distance from the when you see the sign that says, "Welcome to Holland, Michigan," and then you keep driving and you see the sign that says, "Bye, y'all, come back again." You've just left. What is the driving distance from one end to the other? North, south, east, west, whatever.
Oh, I gotcha. That's a really great question. I'm going to say maybe 10 miles from south to north.
Okay.
You know, since we sit on Lake Michigan, a lot of our, we get, you know, we're 2.5 hours from Chicago. To kind of give you a point of reference.
Fabulous.
There's a number of beach towns that are speckled all along Lake Michigan, and which also puts us about a 30-minute drive to Grand Rapids, which would be to the east of us. So, you know, when you start to enter the city limits, you know, it's probably maybe 10-15-minute drive, and then you're out of the city limits if you're on US 31 heading north.
Yeah, so we're much sparser. Because we're 26 miles wide and 52 miles long. And the town I live in has a population of about 3,200 people. And there are 35 households per square mile.
Oh,
so,
wow. You're very rural.
That's why, you know, wearing a mask isn't in my life at the moment. Because I'm not close to anything or anybody. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and dive into what there is to see and do. And why this clearly Dutchman named Holland, Michigan for his fond memories of Holland after these important messages. So pay attention. We'll be right back.
Portions of today's show brought to you by Curacao, offering vacationers cultural experiences wrapped in history and charming traditional European architecture. A UNESCO World Heritage City on a southern Caribbean island with coves, beaches, and over 60 dive and snorkeling sites. Curacao, feel it for yourself. Visit Curacao.com.
Your U.S. passport is the key to your international adventures abroad and is the most secure travel document that proves both citizenship and identity. The State Department's official website, travel.state.gov, has comprehensive information about applying for a passport for the first time, renewing a passport, passports for minors, fees, and much more. You can apply at over 8,000 passport acceptance facilities, including post offices and clerks of court. Standard processing is currently 4 to 6 weeks, and expedited service takes 2 to 3 weeks. If you need your passport in less than 2 weeks, call 1-877-487-2778 to schedule an appointment at one of our regional passport agencies. Once you have your passport, sign up for our Smart Traveler Enrollment Program and download our Smart Traveler app on your smartphone. You will receive country-specific information, travel alerts, and warnings. Visit us at travel.state.gov today.
Movies show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. bizstv.com/blog and at bizstv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
Ah, Curaçao, the island that offers vacationers 55 different cultures wrapped in history and charming traditional European architecture like those you'd find in the Netherlands, but dressed in Southern Caribbean sherbet colors. Curaçao's capital city, Willemstad, is a UNESCO World Heritage City waiting for you to explore its many attractions. And when you've whipped up an appetite and thirst after sightseeing and visiting your choice of over 60 dive and snorkeling sites complete with intimate coves and beaches, you'll find a wide variety of sidewalk cafes, gourmet restaurants, local eateries, and markets to satisfy every palate. Slide into Curaçao's live and let live way of life. Curaçao, feel it for yourself. Visit Curaçao.com or call toll-free 800-328-7222. That's 800-328-7222.
The magic is happening at Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass. One of New England's most popular attractions, the Village is a unique, entertaining world of fun, fantasy, food, and fragrance for the whole family. It's also the world's largest candle shop, where kids and grown-ups can make their own candles. The Village is home to the enchanting Black Forest, where it snows year-round. Santa's Workshop, where he welcomes visitors every day of the year. And the Bavarian Christmas Village, filled with sparkling holiday ornaments. In addition to over 400,000 candles, you'll find toys, gifts, and more from great names like Pandora and Vera Bradley. And with tasty treats from Yankee Candy, Fresh Fudge, and Popcornopolis, every day is a holiday. Or sit down with the family for a wonderful meal at the award-winning Chandler's Restaurant. Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass., where families come for the candles and stay for the fun. Take the Mass Pike to I-91, exit 24.
Rumors, Stephanie Abrams' novel of secrets, lies, and conspiracies that ensnare the lives of ordinary people in a tightening web that all starts with rumors. Available at Amazon.com in print and Kindle formats and BarnesandNoble.com. Rumors by Stephanie Abrams, the perfect leisure time companion.
Traveling soon? Got questions? Email Stephanie at Stephanie@sabrams.com. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
My first question for Linda Hart, who is on the line with us from Holland, Michigan, the executive director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau there, is what was the name of the Dutchman who named Holland, Michigan, Holland?
It was a reverend, Albertus van Ralty. He was Dutch. He came from the Netherlands, and it was 1846. The church, he did not agree with what was going on in the Netherlands on the for economic reasons and religious reasons. So he said, we're moving. And so they made a trip across the Atlantic at the end of 1846, and they arrived in Michigan in 1847. And actually, they were headed to Wisconsin, but landed in Michigan and thought the area looked remotely like it did in the Netherlands. It was very wet.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was wet, and it was wooded, and there was water, and you know, the Dutch know how to move water, cut timber, and so they decided to settle in West Michigan.
Wow. Now, did they come in somehow through the St. Lawrence Seaway, or did they land on the East Coast and come across on land? Do you know?
Yes, they did come across land. They settled, they originally landed in New York, which obviously was originally settled by the Dutch.
I'm shocked.
That was called New Amsterdam.
I'm shocked they didn't get, you know, ensnared either into New York City or the Albany region.
Right. So they made their way over to what is now the Detroit area, and they had scouters who were just, you know, knew the area. And so that was their intention, again, to head to Wisconsin and landed in West Michigan. So, yeah, nope, not through the St. Lawrence Seaway. They did realize, though, how important commerce was, And we have a large 17-acre inland lake called Lake Makatawa, and where that inland lake is about 7 miles long, and where the Dutch originally settled was on the east end of Lake Makatawa. And they knew in order to be successful, they needed to have access to Lake Michigan. And so they requested from the government to dig a channel, you know, to have a proper channel put in place, and they were denied. And being the Dutch who they are, they knew that they needed to have a channel. So they hand dug a channel connecting Lake Michigan to Lake Makatawa. And they used that for about half a century until the late 1800s, 1899, I think, that the Army Corps of Engineers actually came through and put a proper channel in. So now Lake Makatawa does flow into Lake Michigan, which further success.
I am a great believer in, if you think somebody's going to tell you you can't do something, do it first and ask questions later, because you'll get trapped in too much garbage and never get done what you want to accomplish. So bravo to them. They are my heroes. But I'm a little confused. They asked if they could build this channel. They were denied permission. So they hand dug it. How are they going to dig it otherwise? I mean, what was the difference? I don't understand the difference between, you know, having a plow that's being pulled by a donkey or a horse or something, and somebody going out with 2 teaspoons and a knife to, you know, use some other less popular means. How would the end result is the same. They were told don't build it, and they built it anyway.
Right. I think it was a matter of funding. You know, the government said that if we come in and we dig the channel, it's going to cost a lot of money, which the Dutch were like, no, we can't afford that. So they did literally with their own picks and shovels and dug the channel. So,
And
the difference would have been a 3-foot channel versus, you know, however deep the channel is today, probably 20, 25 feet deep. Got so it. That was the difference.
Wow. 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 I am in awe. I mean, really, you think about things like hand tools and the brawn of arms and legs and backs, having the motivation, the stamina, the persistence, you know, the vision, and keeping the goal clear in front of you to do something that, wow, I don't even have a word for to describe that, that incredible. That really is, that is, go them. Yeah. Well, you know, but the Dutch also have that kind of, it's softened Germanic. You know, there is a Germanic broomstick up spines, which I can speak of well because my grandfather on my mother's side was Austrian. And there was that Germanic discipline in his personality that was legendary in the family. And in fact, that's the grandfather that fought in the Spanish-American War with Teddy Roosevelt and whatever, and got himself malaria in Puerto Rico. And that was what created his discharge from the army but in 1898. But, you know, the Dutch have that same kind of discipline, but it's kind of softened in jam and jelly. You know, it's they've got a milder temperament, but that same kind of focused persistence on this is worth doing, so we're going to do it, so get to work and shut up.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, they came over, they knew exactly what they wanted to do. Van Royalty had a mission, you know, he wanted to educate children, develop a community of faith, and build a vibrant business community, which he did. And I mean, even today, Holland is, you know, still celebrates our heritage and that history of what Van Royalty did, you know?
Well, you know,
almost 200 years ago.
I'm really surprised that they didn't get caught up. If they weren't happy about living in whatever New York City was then or was becoming, that they didn't get caught up somewhere in or around Albany County, New York, where every year, generally in September, although I'm guessing they passed on it this year, and I wasn't paying attention, so I don't know. But I'm going to guess they didn't do it this year. But every year in September, they have a festival that is focused. Well, they do a tulip festival in May that debuts on Mother's Day in May. And they do this thing. They do a kind of... local people who are involved in the project get dressed up in Dutch colonial period costumes. And one of the things they do in this event down one of their main streets in Albany is something called sweeping the street. And they come out with handmade brooms and they, you know, walk down the street, parading down the street, sweeping it. Now, I know in Holland, Michigan, you have gone out of your way to create the most incredible tulip display. So for those of you frustrated that you're not going to Europe probably this year, for sure, and next year you might not be either, and you want to have a bit of an experience feeling like you're at the Tulip Festival in the Netherlands, formerly referred to as Holland, you've got a pretty amazing festival going on. But do you do anything like the sweeping the streets routine that they do in Albany?
We do, Stephanie. We do. We have a whole street scrubbers parade. So it's our Wednesday parade. We have three parades. Our Wednesday parade is when the residents all dress up in our Dutch attire and we go through and we scrub the streets. Years and years ago, they used to use soap. They don't do that anymore. It's just water in buckets, but we literally clean the streets because it started when the officials come through and declare the streets are not fit. So it's called a white glove inspection where the Dutch officials, the mayor, city council would all come out and make a declaration with the town crier that the streets are not clean and fit for the residents. And so the residents all come through and sweep the streets.
Easy for you to say.
Scrub the streets before the official parade begins. It's a fun activity that we've been doing for 90, this year would have been 91 years. Obviously with COVID, our festival got canceled this year, but we would have celebrated 91 years of celebrating tulips in Holland and heritage. Absolutely.
Okay, so your street sweeping thing is in conjunction with the Tulip Festival?
It is. It is. Our Tulip Festival is always the first Saturday in May and runs for 9 days. So it's 2 weekends and then a full week. Typically, we would have activities and events every single day. And three parades, one on Wednesday. We have what's called a Kinder Parade on Thursday. That's all the little kids. So they get to celebrate. And then on Saturday, there's a music parade where we get bands from all over the state and region coming in to perform at our festival. We see about 500,000 people for those 9 days in Holland, Michigan to see the tulips.
Wow. That is extraordinary. And in a normal year, and we lust for a normal year. But in a normal year, how many visitors would have come through in that 2.5 week period?
About 500,000. Just for those 9 days, 500,000 people would come to Holland to see the tulips.
How many bulbs are planted?
We plant roughly, so between the city and we do have a tulip farm. It's called Veldheer Tulip Farm, or if you pronounce it correctly, it'd be Veldheer Tulip Farm. Between them and the city, roughly about 5 million tulip bulbs get planted every single year in Holland. And we do get our bulbs from the Netherlands.
Holy cow. 5 million.
Yes, 5 million. And it is a sight to see.
Okay.
You know,
so for my audience is listening on WGCH in Greenwich, Connecticut, and WSBS AM and FM in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, both stations plow in on the southernish end of the Berkshires into northern Connecticut and southern Connecticut into New York City, Long Island, that whole southern Connecticut region, and parts of northern New Jersey. If you guys go to or have ever been to the Tulip Festival in Albany, It's going to look, in Albany, New York, it's going to look like a tinker toy next to what goes on in Holland, Michigan, because they have a beautiful tulip festival. They plant 69,000 bulbs. You plant 5 million. That blows my mind.
And we consider ourselves small compared to Kuchenhof, you know, with what they do out there.
What is Kuchenhof? Is that the name of the place in Holland?
In the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands, yeah. So, now one of the things they do, and I'm wondering if you do, is when in Albany, when the festival is over, somewhere in mid-May, well, actually it's the end of May, because they debut the day before Mother's Day. So it's the Saturday before the second Sunday in May. But when it's over, they dig up the bulbs and they sell them. Do you do that?
We do that. There's an initiative in Holland called Holland in Bloom. It falls under the umbrella, which is a national organization called America in Bloom. So it's just an initiative to help communities be better places to live, work, play, thrive. So anyway, so Holland in Bloom, we do have what we call the tulip dig. And it's usually the first Saturday in June. And anybody can come out with $10 and a 5-gallon bucket and can dig up as many tulips as they want, tulip bulbs that they want, and plant them in their own yards. Absolutely.
That is a real deal, people. And the nice thing about it is you can, if you scout it out before they fade away, you can see the bulbs you want for the, you know, beautiful varieties. We're going to take a quick break and come right back and learn more about Holland, Michigan with Linda Hart after these important messages. Don't leave me.
Your U.S. passport is the key to your international adventures abroad and is the most secure travel document that proves both citizenship and identity. The State Department's official website, travel.state.gov, has comprehensive information about applying for a passport for the first time, renewing a passport, passports for minors, fees, and much more. You can apply at over 8,000 passport acceptance facilities, including post offices and clerks of court. Standard processing is currently 4 to 6 weeks, and expedited service takes 2 to 3 weeks. If you need your passport in less than 2 weeks, call 1-877-487-2778 to schedule an appointment at one of our regional passport agencies. Once you have your passport, sign up for our Smart Traveler Enrollment Program and download our Smart Traveler app on your smartphone. You will receive country-specific information, travel alerts, and warnings. Visit us at travel.state.gov today.
Rumors. Stephanie Abrams' novel of secrets, lies, and conspiracies that ensnare the lives of ordinary people in a tightening web that all starts with rumors. Available at Amazon.com in print and Kindle formats and BarnesandNoble.com. Rumors by Stephanie Abrams, the perfect leisure time companion.
Traveling soon? Got questions? Email Stephanie at stephanie@sabrams.com. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
The magic is happening at Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass. One of New England's most popular attractions, the village is a unique, entertaining world of fun, fantasy, food, and fragrance for the whole family. It's also the world's largest candle shop, where kids and grown-ups can make their own candles. The village is home to the enchanting Black Forest, where it snows year-round. Santa's Workshop, where he welcomes visitors every day of the year. And the Bavarian Christmas Village, filled with sparkling holiday ornaments. In addition to over 400,000 candles, you'll find toys, gifts, and more from great names like Pandora and Vera Bradley. And with tasty treats from Yankee Candy, Fresh Fudge, and Popcornopolis, every day is a holiday. Or sit down with the family for a wonderful meal at the award-winning Chandler's Restaurant. Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass., where families come for the candles and stay for the fun. Take the Mass Pike to I-91, exit 24.
Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
Ah, Curacao, the island that offers vacationers 55 different cultures wrapped in history and charming traditional European architecture like those you'd find in the Netherlands, but dressed in Southern Caribbean sherbet colors. Curacao's capital city, Willemstad, is a UNESCO World Heritage City waiting for you to explore its many attractions. And when you've whipped up an appetite and thirst after sightseeing and visiting your choice of over 60 dive and snorkeling sites complete with intimate coves and beaches, you'll find a wide variety of sidewalk cafes, gourmet restaurants, local eateries, and markets to satisfy every palate. Slide into Curacao's live and let live way of life. Curacao, feel it for yourself. Visit Curacao.com or call toll-free 800-328-7222. That's 800-328-7222.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
On the line with me is the delightful executive director of the Holland, Michigan Convention and Visitors Bureau. You can visit them at holland.org. My mind is dazzled by what goes on in early May at their Tulip Festival. And if things go right, Linda, you're going to get to meet me from, and maybe from still from a distance, my husband and Aaron Go Wolf, our English Springer Spaniel, who's quite the traveler. And because I have to see this. And, you know, my husband used to be in the flower business and was a flower importer and would go to Holland to the flower auction and bring back not only... you know, place the orders. He didn't carry them home with him. But he would place the orders at the flower auction for everything from tulips to, I think they're called anthurium, also referred to as little boy flowers, that are grown in Mauritius. And he'd buy all kinds of stuff at the flower auction. It was just an amazing experience. But I've also never been to the Tulip Festival in the Netherlands, which one of these days I'll fix. But I'm hoping that by the time 2021 May Tulip Festival in Holland, Michigan comes around, if we're still under some kind of restrictions, you guys will figure out how to space people so there aren't people on top of one another. But can go and enjoy the flowers and, you know, the planting can get done. But let's talk about what else is there to see in Holland, Michigan, the other 50 weeks of the year.
No, absolutely. So we do consider ourselves a year-round destination because we have this really snazzy thing called Snowmelt. So Snowmelt is we have heated streets and sidewalks in our entire downtown area, which makes us a year-round destination. And snowmelt is essentially excess heat from generating electricity from our power plant is captured in the cooling tower, and that warm water is pumped into 1-inch size tubing that's all underneath our streets and sidewalks. So 95 degrees of hot water, that could probably be considered warm water at that point, flows through our downtown, and it melts the snow and gives us no ice in our downtown. So, you know, we do consider ourselves a year-round destination. Summer is extremely popular for us because we are a beach town. So a lot of people come to Holland, spend some time at the beach, spend some time in our downtown. We have a wonderful farmer's market, a lot of outdoor parks, recreation, things to do, in addition to free concerts in the park. We get into the fall and, you know, just like you, Stephanie, you and Mark up there in Massachusetts, you know how beautiful the changing of the colors can be. It's just exactly the same way here. We settle nicely into the holidays. And then with snow melts, you know, our downtown, it's not a touristy downtown. It's a very boutique-y downtown. So over 100 shops, galleries, eateries, all in the downtown, which makes it just, you could easily spend an afternoon just strolling through our downtown.
Okay. A heads up alert. This is your wake up call for Lee, Stockbridge, Lenox, West Stockbridge, Pittsfield, Dalton. Pay attention, people. Pay attention. What a brilliant idea. You don't have to invent the wheel. Just recognize it rolls and you could use it. Because can you imagine adding heated sidewalks to what it would do for downtown Pittsfield, Lenox, Stockbridge, Great Barrington, Lee, holy cow, people. Having you on today was a breath of sunshine. But I have to just throw in, on behalf of where I live in Berkshire County, you only think you have fall foliage. You have fall foliage, people. We have more varieties of trees. What makes our foliage incredible is that we have more variety of trees than almost any place else, so that the spectrum of color will blow your mind. And our mountains aren't high enough to really qualify as mountains. They're really big hills. And so we don't go above what's called the tree line, which means there's not enough oxygen up there for the trees to live. And so you go into Vermont, the trees go halfway up the mountain and the mountain keeps going. In Berkshire County, Western Massachusetts, that looks like the mountains, we call them mountains, they're really hills, but they're big, and they look like they've been carpeted, where the trees go up one side of the mountain, over the top, and down the other side. So trees galore no matter where you look. Linda, we're going to have you back again. You are a total delight. Our love to everybody in Holland, Michigan. I hope to come and visit you all soon. Stay with me, people. More to come. We're going to go visit with at least one hotelier in Holland, Michigan. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Stephanie Abrams here. And we're flying high.